Praise the Lord, everyone. You may be seated if you like. First of all, I would like to say that I appreciate Brother David Johnson exchanging places with me today. We are going to have to leave, and we have a rather long trip. Brother Walls is driving the stagecoach, and I've been riding shotgun for him. And all those passengers we got, you travel with that bunch, you'll never be the same again. And but I appreciate Brother David Johnson. I'm going to borrow Brother Johnson saying, "You're one of the finest young men I ever met." And I sincerely mean that. We've known the Johnson family for so many years, I guess it would be almost impossible to tell it too long. But I enjoyed that this morning. Praise God. Enjoyed all the messages we've heard thus far, and that message last night was outstanding. Steve Wilson done an excellent job, and Brother Tidwell, that guy can come up with some of the greatest things I've ever heard. We were in California together, and we've known each other quite a while, and I didn't know that guy was as funny as he is. We just have a great time together. He cuts up and carries on, and you wouldn't think. First time I met him, I thought that guy would have a serious bone in his body, or not a funny bone in his body, always serious. And kind of reminds me of Brother Barry Hill. Came to preach for us one time, and when he came, he got up and said, after a couple of nights, he said, "I dreaded to come here, Brother Teacher." He said, "I'd see him at the conference," and said, "he'd just sit there, that old stone face." Never change expressions or nothing. He said, I just hated to come. And he said, "Here," he said, "I'd see him at the conference," and said, "he'd just sit there, that old stone face." Never change expressions or nothing. He said, I just hated to come. And he said, "Dear God," he said, I never had such a time in my life." There's a lot of enjoyment in this. There's a lot of pleasure. I mentioned something to somebody yesterday that I believe it was Brother Hurd last night, that talking about fellowship. And I said, that is a precious thing. It's priceless. Don't you ever forget that. And I appreciate the Lord and His greatness. The subject that was assigned to me is church in a troubled world or whatever. Careless. Well, same difference. I've been hearing all this positive preaching around here. I told Brother Walls, I said, "I'm going to be the most negative sounding one the whole bunch when I get through." Hallelujah. Somebody, Brother Walls, mentioned Norman Vincent Peale and his positive thinking. And that is a thing that has gotten into the church, and it's frightening. And I mentioned something the other night at home or sometime ago at home about Norman Vincent Peale, and I said, I'm positive that if Norman Vincent Peale don't repent of his sins and get baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost, he's going to hell. And that's positive thinking. I am a one-God preacher. and I'm a water preacher. And that's all our folks hear. And like the story I heard about the preacher, he preached water baptism all the time. Every time he got up to preach, he preached water baptism. So some of the members of the church came to him and said, "Pastor, let me get this thing out of the way when I can get to it. I get so far back, I done got so old I can't read that far back." And they came to him and said, "Pastor," said, "we get you a scripture to preach. Would you preach on it?" He said, "Well, sure." So they went over in Genesis chapter 1 and got him a scripture. He said, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep." And he said, "They's getting ready to have a water baptismal service." I'm constantly searching this book. Not for some new doctrine. Not for some new revelation. But for some fresher light on the Godhead. I'm serious about that. I never was so in love with this blessed apostolic truth that I have been in the last few years. And I feel that we are a blessed group of folks. Praise God. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 4. We'll read verses 23 through 31. "Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast appointed or hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the purpose of this church? And why is it in the world? What I am about to say is no reflection, and I don't apologize for what I preach. I don't have a reputation to uphold as some great orator and as some great preacher. I'm just sick and tired of some of our apostolic preachers getting up at our conferences and making the statement that God's going to take this blessed Holy Ghost away from us and give it to charismatics. It makes me want to vomit. I don't believe that. Y'all hear what I said? I don't believe that. That might make good preaching material, but there's no truth in it. We're in the church. Hallelujah. God's not going to take this blessed truth and give it to folks that don't believe the truth. Well, dear God. For the church to be a viable entity in a troubled world, we, the members, must adhere to its basic teachings and holiness. Water baptism in Jesus' name.
the infilling of the Holy Ghost, washing of saints' feet, communion, godliness. Women must not cut their hair, and men must wear short hair. That's not what I'm saying. That's what this blessed book says. I told our folks at home, and I'll get off of this right quick. Not that I'm afraid to teach it, but I just told our folks at home, I said, if the Bible said you women could cut your hair, I said, I ain't care if you cut it all off. You ought to, anyhow. The Bible said do that if you're going to cut it. I said, do what you want to. If the book said cut it, cut it. But if it said don't cut it, you can't cut it. Well, there ain't no need in less playing around. I'm telling you, if we're going to be what God wants us to be and a viable entity in this troubled world, we're going to have it and stick to the teachings of this blessed church. This was teaching in it when you came in it. That's what was being taught in the church when you got in the church. God's not going to change it for you. He's not going to change it for me. He's not going to change it for the charismatics. We cannot follow the way of the charismatic. We must be as a lighthouse in a darkened and troubled world. For that light to shine, it must be guarded over to make sure the lamp is burning. I got 3 pages here on something I dug out on the lighthouse, and I'm not going to read it. I just want to read one little short paragraph. The lighthouse is a structure designed to provide ships with a navigational point of reference by day and night, and often to indicate dangerous rocks or shoals as well. Used since ancient times, lighthouses have evolved from beacons, fires burning on hilltops, to modern masonry or steel-framed towers that are capable of resisting the severest storms and are equipped with optical and sound signaling systems. Hallelujah. And I think that is a very good description of the apostolic church. Praise God, praise God. It came from old modern or from old ancient buildings and wooden buildings and whatever to modern structures of steel and whatever. But it's still a light shining out into a cursed world, in a darkened world, and full of trouble and all sorrows. And for that light to shine, must be guarded over to make sure the lamp is burning. The sea has a way of suddenly becoming a boiling, raging, furious body of mass, claiming any and all victims with no regard of who they are. Men, women, children, even small infants. We go back to the sinking of the Titanic. I'm just going to teach you the way I do at home. This ship set sail from England on its maiden voyage, as everyone is aware of. Unsinkable. Didn't have enough lifeboats. Never had a lifeboat drill. No one knew what to do if a panic or a crisis would come. No one knew how to handle it. In the still of night, while they were making revelry and all the things that were with it, and some were asleep, and some of the poor class was down in the holds, and all of a sudden, they encountered an iceberg, and they hit this iceberg and crunched the thing, and naturally it buckled the bulkheads, and it fell aboard, and come apart, and water began to gush in. And it wasn't long until the great unsinkable Titanic was in the grave danger and was on its way down to a watery grave. And over 1,500 people lost their lives. Some lifeboats left with just a few in it. There was nobody knew where to go. They didn't know how to take care of it because there was no drills or nothing else. Listen to me, church. I'm going to tell you something. If we play patty cake and we come to church and fool around, we're going to be just as that. We are a beacon of light that's shining out into a troubled world with somebody struggling out there to find their way home. Amen. men and women, boys and girls, even infants, went down into a watery grave. Hallelujah. We must not. No, indeed, we cannot swerve from the teaching and the doctrines of the church. To do so would be anathema. Everybody say, praise the Lord. I'm going to say some things that might cross you theologically. But it's Scripture. Hallelujah. First of all, we have not yet obtained salvation. Y'all hear what I said? We have not yet obtained salvation. We have only been brought to it. And to obtain such a glorious state of bliss, we must continue in the church. I'm going to tell you something. If we have already obtained salvation, we cannot, it is absolutely impossible for us to be lost. And you know and I know that we're not in such a state. That all of us can be eternally doomed for hell because we have not obtained that salvation. We have only been brought to it. And for that we ought to thank God. Hallelujah. You're not saved yet. You may be living in a saved condition, and you may be living in a state that would put you in that condition should you die or the trumpet sound. But until that trumpet sounds, Brother Cannon, we have not obtained that salvation. And until we do, we're a light that's shining out there to a lost and dying world. Well, hallelujah. Where else can you go and find the complete joy and satisfaction that the church gives? Where can salvation be found if not in the church? Well, praise God. And we'll come back to our positive thinking. Brother Walls mentioned yesterday, You be positive this is going to happen. And this is developing in our midst. He didn't tell me all he was going to teach when he's coming up here. He just went on. I didn't tell him. But I'm telling you today, church, we're in a struggle. And we're not careful. We're going to be caught up in a lot of this stuff. And we got preachers that are saying, man, just believe it and it'll happen. You just think it and it's going to be. Hallelujah. Get positive. Think positive. I'm going to be positive about your message. Be positive about your church. Be positive about that. But that don't change what the book teaches. You all hearing what I said? It don't change. What I'm saying is we cannot demand God's blessings. You all want me to repeat that? We cannot demand God's blessings. We can only invoke them upon us by our living for Him. And that's the God's truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't go and say, God, I demand for You to bless me. It don't work that way. You invoke those blessings upon you by your living for Him. Be in the right place. At the right time. Hallelujah. And it comes, we invoke them by honest, by living for Him, by our praise and thanksgiving. And I'm going to tell you something, church. Our loving Him accounts for some of those blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord. Let me ask you something. You put this in your mind. When was the last time that you really had to ask God for something? I mean, what I'm saying is there are blessings that flows from God only because of your loving Him. And they're automatic. They're there. I don't know why, I don't know how, but I don't know the last time that I had to ask God for anything. It was there. You see, he said, my God, what Paul said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Jesus said, your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask Him. And He also said something else. Sometimes we overlook this, and I don't know why we do. We use this a lot, not this particular Scripture, but what I want to use with it. We use it as God loves a cheerful giver. And we use that a lot in offerings. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason I feel that God loves a cheerful giver is God's a cheerful giver. And Jesus said it's your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Hallelujah. And what can you do to deserve the kingdom? I'm going to tell you something. I surely haven't done anything to deserve it. You're looking at a fellow that, even though I was raised in this blessed truth, my father got the Holy Ghost in 1927. And I've been around this all my life. I've seen things that would boggle your mind, I suppose. I've seen some of the most glorious things happen that it's just indescribable. I mean, miracles and greatness and great works of God's glory being manifested. That it would just boggle your mind. That didn't help me any. I had become an alcoholic before I was 21 years old. I didn't amount to nothing. You've heard the old expression, an ornery, good-for-nothing, low-down, stinking sinner. That fit me. I went home with vomit on my clothes that wasn't mine, where I'd been down in the gutter, rolling, and I couldn't walk. I didn't have the ability to stand up on my own. But I'm going to tell you something. Somewhere, somehow, God got a hold of my heart and caused me to come to Him. He washed me in His own blood. And He made me a king and a priest unto Him. And I can come to Him with praises, and I can come to Him with my offerings, and I can come to Him with glory, because I am a priest unto myself. And I'm also a king. You all hear me? I said I'm also a king. I'm a king over this kingdom right here. And I'm not a king over your kingdom. You're a king over your kingdom, Brother Flowers. And that's the only kingdom you possess is the kingdom of flowers. You don't have any rule over Tetrick's kingdom. And this is where our problem is. When another king invades another kingdom, there is automatic war declared. And if we would stay kings over our own kingdoms, dear God, how much better off would we all be? Well, let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. This world is certainly in trouble. And it needs a light to shine out in the darkness, as a beacon to show the way to a more perfect way. The charismatic movement is offering nothing more than what the world presently has. Y'all listen to me very carefully. The enemy with his subtleties is coming upon us as a flood. I've been hearing of preachers, and I hope that I'm not misunderstood in what I'm getting ready to say, that have, Brother Johnson made mention of it this morning, preachers that have forsook their pulpits and their families, went off with somebody else. We look at that as a very crying and terrible thing, and it is. But I'm going to tell you something else. We've got preachers falling every day
in false doctrine. Brother Bishop, that's a far greater feeling to me than a man falling in adultery. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because he's probably taken hundreds of people with him into false doctrine. Well, ain't no need y'all looking at me in that tone of voice. That's the way I feel. And we look at preachers saying, my Lord, you know, they. But I'm telling you, we've got folks and preachers that are falling every day into false doctrine. Dragging churches down with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it, and I say it about everywhere I go. I hate false doctrine with a passion. There is absolutely one, not one iota of compromise in me on false doctrine. This is right, and if this isn't right, we're all going to hell. I said it. If this isn't right, all of us is going to hell. Brother Tidwell, we're on our way to hell. Because we're preaching a false doctrine. But if on the other hand, this is true, then everybody else is going to hell. That's why it's important that we as a church, a viable entity, make sure this blessed truth, Brother David, gets out to a world that is struggling in trouble. Well, hallelujah. So the charismatic movement is nothing more to present than what the world presently has. They look no different than anyone in the world. Their mode of dress and looks are the same. Hallelujah. Did you know something? You watch them. You look at them. And they put on a great show. And they'll come along with this. And I may cross you again. They'll say, have you spoke in the heavenly language? That's the most sickening thing I ever heard. Have you spoken in the heavenly? You know what the answer I told our folks at home? I said, you tell them no, and neither has anybody else. You may have spoken tongues, but you ain't spoken no heavenly language. Because somebody speaks that language somewhere on this earth. And everybody that speaks that language somewhere on this earth don't all have the Holy Ghost. Now, it may be heavenly inspired, but it's not a heavenly language. Well, hallelujah. 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 This is absolute. I'm telling you. There is no such thing as an unknown tongue. You say, it's in the book. No, it's not in the book. That's been added in there. If you look at the word unknown, you'll find it's in italics. It's not in the text that was translated from in the Greek. It's just tongues. Well, I'm telling you, what's the God's truth? And they have taken and stole our thunder away from us, and we backed up. You see them folks and them men folks, and they got them, I call them, I don't know what they call them, I just got a name for them, I call them old gold chokers around their neck. I told you I was going to be the most negative sounding preacher in the whole bunch. But I'm preaching Bible truth. If we're going to be a viable church to a lost world, we had better be one. You cannot fellowship with the charismatics and retain this shining light that's reaching out to a lost and dying world. They have nothing whatsoever to offer to a man on his way to hell.
But you do. You do. You do. Hallelujah. You do. You got the blessed truth. And you better hold to it. See, I had a... When I was a young man growing up, Brother Flowers, when a fella come around with one of them gold necklaces on, we had a special word for that fella. Yeah. Of course, they didn't have too many of them fellas around when I was growing up. Or at least they stayed under their rocks. Old Miller Shields had a young boy come to church one time and kind of had that squeaky voice. And you all know Miller Shields. You know him. Those of you that don't, you ought to meet him before he dies. Said that boy, said, "Talk like a man." Hallelujah. Look, church, we cannot get involved in all of this mess and keep that light shining out there to a world that's in trouble. You see, they believe the same doctrine as their harlot mother believes and teaches. And I just tell it like it is. Well, hallelujah. I'm serious about this blessing. Look, let me tell you something. We've got little less than 11 years left in this century. I believe I heard Brother Bishop refer to the year 2000. That seems to be a magic number, Brother Bishop. It seems to be something that we are looking for. And let me tell you this. I don't believe that Martin Luther had anything to do with our salvation. I believe that if God gave Martin Luther a revelation, He gave him the revelation of the whole package, Brother Tidwell. Water baptism in Jesus' name, Jesus being God, getting the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. I believe that. I don't believe it progressed down through the various areas and elements of time. There has always been a Jesus name, one God, apostolic tongue-talking church. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm still talking about these good old charismatics. Brother Walls called them cruismatics. They preach, they teach, believe the same doctrine as their harlot mother believes and teaches. They fight us over the teachings of righteousness, holiness, the teaching of water baptism in Jesus' name being essential to salvation, the teaching of the oneness of the Godhead. Are you all hearing what I've just said to you? I don't care where you go and which one of them fellows you run into or whatever, you're going to find they believe the same Trinitarian viewpoint of the Godhead that their mother believes. Well, Lord, y'all are awful quiet. Y'all believe that up here, don't you? Yeah, but we don't believe it that strong. My God, you better. Hallelujah. I was teaching in California back in the fall. They just threw me in the gap. And on the doctrines of the church and I made mention of something, and I'll make mention of it here. I told him, I said, the only place I've ever found the Trinity in the New Testament, in the Bible, is found in the 16th chapter of Revelation, verse number 13, I believe. Y'all want me to read it to you? 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Come out of the mouth of the beast. Out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are the spirits of devils. See how subtle I am. I told Brother McCool, I said, I'm going to start teaching a class on subtlety. He said, I want to be the first one to enroll. I'm about as subtle as a Mack truck bearing down on you with its horn blowing. If you get run over, at least you were warned. Hallelujah! Y'all love the Lord. Let me read you what we one of the scriptures we read here in verse 29 of this same chapter. They're fighting us. They fight our teaching. Oh, Lord. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Y'all hear what he just said? That with all boldness they may speak thy word. Hallelujah. Dear God. If you look at Acts chapter 7 concerning Stephen seeing Jesus standing out of the right hand of God, and it's too specific instances in there. But he being, verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. In verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. First of all, in the Greek text, this was translated from the book you're holding in your hand, if you have one there, King James Version, an authorized version, whatever you want to call it. In all instances where it is referring to seeing the right hand of God, the word hand is never, ever, never, ever there. It is only says right. And it doesn't mean to refer that it means right hand. Let me give you a little something. In these two instances that I just read to you, I was reading it one day in the Greek, and of course, Brother Walls, he's about 60, 65 miles from me, and I'll call him to tell him a question once in a while. And I said, hey, Bishop, how many right hands does God have? I'll ask you all the same question. How many right hands does God have? Well, blessed Trinitarian said he does. Let me tell you a little something. This word, dexion, used here for right, is in the plural. So if the word hand is implied, Brother Tidwell, he's got more than one right hand. So y'all might use that on your Trinitarian friends sometime when they pull that on you. And you can take my word for it, that's authentic. I'm telling you what I know to be the God's truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same word that's used for right there, or right hand, the word dexion, is also means to receive. Is anybody in here left-handed? I thought there was something wrong with me. No. Wait till that fella comes to preach for me again. Would you receive something normally? Which hand would you receive it in? Not necessarily.
Give me that stuff. And whoever said you receive anything with a hand, anything? I done got off of my message. I ain't got much time to get back on it. Hebrews chapter 8. Dear God, I love truth. I'm telling you the God's truth. You know what I told our folks, and I mean this with all of my heart. God knows I mean it. Let me tell you all something. I would rather be dead. Then fall from this truth into false doctrine. God's my witness. Brother Weininger, I'd just soon God take me right now than for me to fall in false doctrine. That's not just preacher talk. I'm telling you what's in my heart. God being my witness. But Johnson, I'd rather be dead. That's how much I love this truth, Brother Flowers. And I'm going to preach it every time I get a chance to preach it. I'm going to preach it. I don't know how to preach a lot of things. I can't preach like Brother Steve Wilson. He can jump around and he gets everybody all excited. And Brother David Johnson, man, I'm telling him, fellas, preach something. But I know how to preach this. I'm telling you, I know how to preach this. And I'm not easily misunderstood when I'm preaching it. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm. We have such a high priest who has sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. You read that in the Greek, the word hand isn't there. And it says who has sat down in the right of the throne in the heavens. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? A throne is representative of the kingdom. It is the authority of that kingdom. And that throne is not always occupied. And no one sits in that throne but the rightful ruler. And did you know that in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, there is a description of seraphims? Now, because one cried to another, that doesn't mean there was just two. It doesn't say how many there was. In the book of Revelation, you find a description of four living ones. It's translated creatures, but that's not, that word creature ought not be there. Was. In the book of Revelation, you find a description of four living ones. That's translated creatures, but that's not, that word creature ought not be there. They're just four living. Hallelujah. And their description is almost identical to the ones that are the seraphims that's found in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And evidently, they are not mentioned, they are evidently not angels. Now, the word angel means messenger. And there's no description. There is no place in the book that describes where they are ministering spirits or do anything, but they're around the throne. 6th chapter of Isaiah, they're around the throne. And in the book of Revelation, they're around the throne. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't about to let no 6-winged creature keep me or let me do something. They ain't going to let nobody sit on that throne but the one who's supposed to sit on it. And after having made a cleansing of our sins, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1, He sat down in the throne or in the greatness. It was right for Him to sit in that throne. That's what He was saying. He took that throne. If you use the same word, dexion, as right hand, if you use it as receiving it, that's just what it means. He received that throne by sitting down in it. And I ain't, dear God, I shouldn't have got on that because I don't.
I don't mean that. I just don't have time to get involved in it. Dear God. Dear God. We got a truth. You know what we need? We need to know a little more about what this book is telling us. You don't have to back off from them Trinitarians. Let them pull their scriptures. Tell them what the book says. Maybe this little tidbit I give you might help you sometime in some place. Dear God, let's love the Lord. So He's got right hands according to this in chapter 7. But He don't. It was right for Him. It was right for Him to sit there. It was right for Him to receive it. It was right for Him to be there. Let me tell you something. If Jesus wasn't God manifested in the flesh, He was the biggest hoax that ever was foisted upon an unsuspecting world. And I'll tell you, my Lord, I done cut off. I might as well just stay off. I'm going to tell you a little something. You'll know it, but I just want to remind you. Jesus did not exist only in the mind of God prior to His birth. And when He died at Calvary, the life that caused that body to exist was gone. Brother Bishop, it never returned. I said, dear God, that's sacrilege. No, that's truth. Absolute truth. Brother Tidwell, they took that body down off the cross. He didn't come down. They took it down. And He didn't walk to His tomb. They carried Him to His tomb. And He didn't say, boys, lay me this way, put my head here and my feet there. They laid Him in the tomb. And He laid in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And the third day, God Himself, excuse me, that caused that body to exist, stepped into that body and raised it up. Now the Scripture said, if that Spirit that raised up Jesus from among the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken, or if you read it in the Greek, it said, make alive again your mortal body. Without the Holy Ghost, you cannot live again. And that's why you need more than see my tie, see me tie my tie. You need something. I'm going to tell you a little something. Everybody in here received a real genuine Holy Ghost. You know the first place you felt it? Right down in here in your belly. It didn't come in, it come out. Come rushing out as a rushing mighty wind. Pushing all of the old man and all the debris and everything. Just pushing it out. Then you begin to speak in other tongues. As the Spirit give you to utter. And if you don't have that, when you leave this world, you've had it. I don't want this evangelistic Holy Ghost. I don't want this charismatic type of Holy Ghost. Brother Johnson, I want the real thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want you to get down in my ear. Now, I don't want anybody to get down in anybody's ear in our church and say, now you repeat what I say. I don't mind you getting down in their ears, but you don't tell them how to speak in tongues. You leave that to the Spirit. It'll tell them how. Praise God. Do you love the Lord? I'm talking about a church in a troubled world. A lighthouse, a light shining out. Praise God. Y'all love the Lord? All they are teaching, and I'm still on the same charismatic group, all they are teaching is love, love, love. And folks is accused Dietrich of not knowing how to love. Well, the Apostolic Church teaches love. Love of truth. Love of righteousness. Love of holiness. Love of godliness. That's why we're reaching out to a lost and dying world. And I'm not trying to be critical of what's being preached here already. God forbid that I should. I couldn't take nothing away and I couldn't add anything to it. I'm just telling you that the Apostolic Church teaches love. Got a young man helping me in our church, and he came from a town in Kentucky that it had every kind of doctrine in the church. And he come and he told us the other night, he said, I told somebody, he said, you ought to come up there. He said, everybody up there believes the same thing. I said, that's because that's all they hear is the same thing. They better believe the same thing. Praise God. So the light of this lighthouse must never be allowed to go out. We are the keepers of the flame. It must always be shining through the troubles of this world. There is someone out there on a troubled sea struggling to reach a haven. The shoals and reefs are waiting, lying just below the surface, waiting to rip apart the hull of their ship. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. You might say, I don't want that fella come preaching for me.
Well, that's all right. I don't care.
I got a church I've been pastoring for going on 35 years and they've been hearing it for 35 years, so I guess a few more years ain't going to hurt them. This church is also filled with glory. Because this is what brought this on, because they had healed the lame man at the gate. And one of the most beautiful parts of that is, the Bible said that Peter reached out his right hand. And incidentally, the word care, which is Greek for hand, is there. And took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. And he didn't get up like I've been getting up around here grunting and groaning. And my granddaughter told me the other day, she said, Paul, said, why do you make all that noise getting out of the car? You hear me groaning for half a block almost. I said, well, one of these days you'll understand. But the Bible said he leaping up. Never done that in his life. Leaping up. Dear God. And that's what brought all this on. That's what truth will do to us. And if we don't have truth, we might as well just fold our little bags up and go home. Or go join the charismatics or go join somebody. We better stay in this blessed truth. And you better go check that light because you're the keeper of the flame. Somewhere out there on that troubled sea is somebody trying to make it to a haven. It's already been greatly and ably preached here so far. Brother Steve preached about the cities of refuge and there are folks out there reaching for them. That's lighthouses. Brother Johnson preached last night so gratefully about the resurrection and all of that. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, there ain't no need you worrying about the resurrection, what it's going to be like, or anything at all about it, because you're not going to have a part in it. May God bless you. I'm glad I'm a part of this blessed church. And I want to keep the flame burning. I want to keep the light shining. I want to be sure that it's shining out in a darkened, sin-cursed world. Hallelujah.